Thank you. sticking out like a pair of dark socks on the beach. This is Chris and Rob on WAIF.
Hey, we're joined by Steve Schmidt. We just heard the Steve Schmidt Trio from the new CD called Red and Orange. That was the title track, composed by Steve Schmidt with Drew Gress on bass and that slamming drum solo at the end, Jeff Ballard. Jeff Ballard is a good drummer.
He's really good.
Hold on, let me turn your mic on.
Okay. Jeff Ballard's really good, yeah.
Yeah. And so this trio you put together is kind of cool. Steve Schmidt, local jazz pianist. If you would like to call into the program and say hello to Steve, talk about music or jazz or culture or bars or drugs or partying or what jazz musicians are doing when they're not practicing, give us a call here at 513-749-1444. Again, that's 513-749-1444. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
So when people think that jazz is all snooty-tooty, well, what do you say to them? Because you got knuckleheads just listening to Q102 growing up, and then he's like, you say you play jazz, and I'm like, ooh, you must be old snooty tooty.
Right, snooty tooty. Well, I don't think jazz should be snooty tooty. I mean, maybe some people that play it are like that.
They're hipper than thou. They're hipper than you.
Right.
Well, they're hipper than me. They're not hipper than you. They can't be hipper than you, but they're hipper.
They think they're hipper than us. No, I'm, I love jazz, but I also love all kinds of other music, and, I don't know. To me, jazz has always been influenced by other things and has also influenced other things. So I don't know. I've never been a jazz snob, per se. And also, I feel that, yeah, some people, it's weird because in America, where people should know more about jazz, they don't hear it every day. So a lot of it sounds foreign to them. And sometimes people think they have to know a lot about something, you know, to appreciate it. But I feel you don't have to do that. And I like to play in a way that is accessible. You know, I don't want to, like, dumb things down. But I think sometimes musicians do get too focused on themselves. I don't know. It's a balance between playing what you want to play, but also thinking about the audience. I guess there became a time in jazz when it was uncool to think about the audience, you know?
I know what you're saying.
And I don't necessarily.
Were jazz like cats that spitting on the audience?
I don't think they were doing that, but
Someone would take their horn and empty their spit out into the customers' drinks.
They were doing that kind of stuff?
They used to do that for a while, back in the 60s.
Back when everybody had mullet and sunglasses?
Yeah, back in the 60s.
Right.
They were all smoking those left-handed cigarettes and dumping their, you know, they're a little spittical. What do you call those things on the horns?
Spit valve, right.
So we're talking to Steve Schmidt here, and again, the phone number is 513-749-1444. We're going to go to the phones. Hello, Dixie.
Hey, how you doing?
Great. What's on your mind, Dixie?
I just want to say that I think Steve Schmidt is the most fabulous piano player around.
Hey, Steve, Aww. Do you know that song, I Wish I Wasn't Dixie?
Thanks, Dixie.
Hey Steve, I know that sounded awesome.
Well, thank you. That's a familiar voice I'm hearing.
What's that?
Said, your voice sounds familiar.
Oh.
I'm just kidding.
Well,
we know who you are.
Well, we were sitting here, my son's car is broken down, and I heard that we've got the radio on, and man, it sounds great.
You're sitting in the broken down car, you're
yeah.
saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like on the side of the road
or
something?
So you can listen to the radio show?
The radio's working, but nothing else is. But I wanted to call and say, you are just great. We love you.
Thank you, Dixie.
Hey,
love you, too.
Good luck to you.
All right. Thanks, babe.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Do you get a lot of that as a big jazz rock star? I mean, you know, I saw John Van Olen at that CEA Awards last night. And he doesn't know me. He doesn't know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
But I walk up to him because I recognize him. And for those who don't know, John Van Olen is a world-class drummer who started that big Blue Wisp big band. Mm-hmm. And he's a seasoned cat, and he played with Stan Kenton for a while in the early 70s, right?
Right.
So I walk up to John Van Olen, because this guy's as about a heavyweight as you're going to have in this region, outside of Bootsy Collins.
Mm-hmm.
And I walk up to him and I say, dude, you're a rock star and you should be treated as such. And then I just walked away. And he looked at me and said, thanks, man. I was a little lit and I just walked away.
That's
but
good.
I meant it. I meant that. And the same goes for you, too. You know, you may not be as famous as Bill Evans or something, but you know, you're a rock star. You're putting it out there every weekend at the gigs, and when these girls like Dixie call in and tell you that they love you, well, I hope that happens a lot.
It happens all the time.
Good.
No, it happens once in a while. Well, we know who Dixie is. Dixie Kara. She's a great singer here in town.
Oh, okay. Huh? So that was a celebrity on the phone.
That was a celebrity on the phone, yeah.
Okay, cool.
And people should go out and hear her. She's a wonderful singer.
Maybe Nina Simone will call next.
That would be nice.
Yeah. You never know who's listening, and I'm sure, you know, if John Patitucci is out there, he'll just dial us up here at 513-749-1444.
There you go. But it's great to be here. I want to say to you guys, I'm a big fan of your show.
Really?
I've been for a long time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because we're like...
Call me crazy. I don't know.
Now we know who our listener is.
This is like a jazz talk show, man.
That's why there aren't that many people listening tonight, because he's here.
That's it.
Yeah. Our demographic is here.
That's some more jokes.
Hey, a couple of years ago, Steve Schmidt recorded a Christmas album, and it's almost Christmas time now, so we're going to play a track from this Christmas album. It's called Merry Christmas Baby by the Steve Schmidt Organ Trio. And I guess you don't just play piano, you play organ too.
I've been playing organ for about almost 10 years now.
Do you like playing a Hammond organ better or not as much as playing the acoustical grand piano?
It's hard to say. They're two different animals, yeah. Both beautiful.
I know you play a little Wurlitzer electric piano sometimes, too.
I do, yeah. But, playing the Hammond organ's a whole different thing. Plus, you're doing a different role, namely playing the bass with your left hand and or feet.
So you don't have a... You don't have a bass player in this record?
Nope.
Well, okay, so we're going to play We Wish You a Merry Christmas. And who's playing on this cut?
This is Art.
Oh, you thank Doug on this. It says thanks to Doug Hafner.
That's right.
Doug. I saw Doug at lunchtime today.
Cool.
He wants to book you at his new restaurant, but he doesn't have a piano in there yet.
We've talked about that.
You have.
Hopefully we can work that out.
Good, because Doug is one of the co-owners of this new restaurant called Honey over on Hamilton Avenue, which if you didn't know this already, any listener of the Chris and Rob Show who goes to Honey on Hamilton Avenue, it's right there where Boca used to be on the very first block of Hamilton Avenue, right when you go over the viaduct from Clifton. And they've been extending an offer to listeners of the Chris and Rob Show only, where if you tell your waiter or waitress or the bartender at Honey's on Hamilton Avenue that you heard about Honey on the Chris and Rob Show, you get a free bowl of soup.
Excellent.
And they got good soup there.
Yeah, real good soup.
It's good soup.
They have good bacon.
I had a plate of bacon today. Shoshana made me some broadbent.
Oh, man, bacon.
So that's Honey. So
excellent. I know, and I've not yet gone down. I've been so busy, but I've been meaning to go there. Shoshana's a great cook.
Why don't you and your fiancé give me a call? I'll meet you over there one night.
Okay.
I'm serious about that.
Okay.
Okay, but, besides, talking about this restaurant here, I remember when Doug first got the place, and I went over there when he was remodeling it, and I said, first thing I said when I walked in that room was, right there in the corner by the window, put a little baby grand, and I know you're friends with Steve, so get Steve to play here every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, that's a great idea. Where am I going to get the piano?
Right. That's so tough.
When you hear but about a cheap piano, let him know.
Well, don't you have one of those Keith Casios or something?
I got a little portable Javi.
Then that way you can have drums. There.
Mm-hmm. Like a little drum machine.
Yeah.
Steady Eddie.
Well, not even a drum machine. It's already built into your Casio.
I could do that.
Steve Schmidt, the one-man band.
Maybe little foot pedals. And
cymbals between your knees.
Mm-hmm.
That's cute.
That kind of stuff. Yeah, yeah. Hook up the bass drum to a bass pedal.
Uh-huh. Right.
Now, considering that Steve's a musician, and you know musicians have a hard time getting paid sometimes, I'm sure he'll be over at Honey tomorrow saying, hey, I heard about this place on Chris and Rob. Give me my free soup.
You want some soup?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I need some soup.
And I heard you had a free piano for me.
Yeah. Right.
All right, here's the Christmas song by the Steve Schmidt Organ Trio.
Thank you.
A rendition of We Wish You a Merry Christmas by the Steve Schmidt Organ Trio with Scott Burns on saxophone and Art Gore on drums. And that's from Merry Christmas Baby, the Steve Schmidt Organ Trio, which came out about 4 or 5 years ago. And it should be in everyone's Christmas collection. It's certainly in mine. I file it right next to the Bing Crosby and Perry Como records.
That's quite an honor. Thank you.
Steve Schmidt is our guest tonight and has been pretty much since we started at 10 o'clock. And I don't know if he wants to leave yet or not, but he seems to be hanging in there. So if you want to call in and say hello to a real live jazz musician and talk all about the lifestyle and the music and the piano players and the horn players and the drummers and whatever else you got on your mind, give us a call here at 513-749-1444.
Cool. What songs are you sick of playing? What song do you not want to play again, but because you're a jazz piano player, someone's going to say, hey, Kat, it's so-and-so's birthday, and her favorite song is Misty. Will you play Misty for me?
I would play Misty, because I like that song.
Well, that's just an example.
But the one that I really, I don't know, I know everybody
Age of
likes
Aquarius?
It, but like, I kind of like that one, too.
MacArthur's Park?
That one would not be a good one. Mm-hmm. But as time goes by, I hate to say it, I don't know, something about that song just... I don't like it so much.
It's kind of melancholy and sad.
Right. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't know. And maybe it's me, but that's just...
What about Sending the Clowns?
That's not a bad song.
What about Windmills
like
of
that.
My Mind?
I mean, actually, Sending the Clowns is a great song. How's that one go?
What about My Name is Mikey, I Got a Nickel?
That one, I like that song. Yeah. Put a funk beat with it, it's good.
What about Tony's Little Push Cart?
Like Tony's.
How's that one go?
Right. Yeah. 513-749-1444.
Buffalo Night Chicago
wait,
died.
Yeah. What about, what was that one, Wichita Lineman?
That's a great song.
How about Wichita Lineman?
That's a great song.
Can you play
song.
That one on the jazz piano?
I could do that.
Yeah, that's a real good
do you
song.
Do a lot of jazz renditions of songs that aren't jazz just to mix it up and stuff, like pull a rock song or a country song? Like some of these groups, I mean,
sometimes
it's a tradition that goes back to the very beginning of music. But
right.
But even the Bad Plus is recently coming out with these CDs, and they're doing a Blondie song
right.
Or a Nirvana song, but they're doing it in a jazz piano format, and it's supposed to make you go, oh, boy.
Right.
I don't know if it does all the time, but that's supposed to.
I think it's a valid thing, and I do that a little bit.
Yeah.
I did, actually, with the organ group, I did an arrangement on King of the Road. You know that one? Da, da, da. You know, Roger right. Miller, is that? Anyway.
Roger Miller is a rare genius.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But, so, yeah, I haven't done
you
any,
also did
like,
what? Boom, chicka, chicka, boom?
Can't did roller he? Skate in a buffalo herd. You can't mm-hmm. roller skate in a buffalo herd.
Right.
But yeah. You can be happy if you've a mind to it. You did chug-a-log, chug-a-log.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of, chug-a-log. What was and the one about me. Hang Me from
dang.
A tree?
Oh, yeah, dang.
Hang me, dang me, hang me from a tree.
Hang me.
Yeah.
Right, right.
That's a great song.
So, yeah, but I haven't done any, like, Nirvana songs or anything like
yeah.
that. But
so you wouldn't do, like, Wichita Lineman just to see if anyone's paying attention?
I might try that one. Now that you've mentioned it, I think
hey,
I'm
when you were first getting interested in jazz music, who were the piano players that made you say, "Oh, I want to play like that guy"?
Right.
But most one guys them, would say Bill Evans. What about you?
Bill Evans. Yeah, but later I didn't listen to him at first. Actually, the first one that really got me was Ahmad Jamal, and still gets me.
Ahmad Jamal was Miles and Jack DeJohnette's favorite piano player.
There you go.
When we had Jack on the show here a few months back. I asked a very similar question about Jack because I was running out of some questions, and he's a very intimidating guy because he's so great. He's Jack DeJohnette.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to ask him. And I said, hey, so who are some of the players that inspired you when you first got into... He goes, Vincent Furnier from that record, But Not For Me, Live at the Pershing by the Ahmad Jamal Trio, because Vincent Furnier was the drummer.
Vernell Fournier.
Vernell Fournier. That's what I'm thinking of.
Right.
My bad.
That's okay.
My bad. Vincent Furnier is Alice Cooper, isn't he?
Okay. Is it?
Yes, it is.
My bad. There's a little faux pas for you. Okay, and so I dug that record back out after I talked to Jack, and I listened to that record, and sure enough, there are tracks on that record where you go, Jack stole that beat.
Mm-hmm.
He played that beat on that record, and that's that beat from that Ahmad Jamal record, and I'm just now starting to dig through some Ahmad Jamal. That guy is a genius.
He is. Yeah, he was... Yeah, he was born to play the piano.
Mm-hmm. And he's still
there's
doing
something,
it.
Yeah.
He's 80 now or something.
He's about, maybe 75.
Yeah.
And, maybe just 70. Actually, it's weird. Guys that have been around, you realize sometimes the guys that are so great, and they seem like they've been here forever, but a lot of them got great when they were like, 19 or 20
right.
or something.
And so Ahmad Jamal is one of those guys.
Right.
Talk about Ahmad Jamal some more. Why does
classic,
he speak to you?
Well... One thing is, as I said, his piano playing, he's just a piano player's piano player, but also just everybody's piano player. He just, I don't know, his touch, his technique, his everything is so great. But also he doesn't overdo it. One of his special things is he uses a lot of space. And, and he's very playful. He'll play half the melody and then mm-hmm. stop, you know. And that's why Miles got a lot of that from him. You know, Miles Davis will play... just the piece of the melody and then, and then
back off.
Right.
A little sparseness, but it's not sparseness or space like a guy like Paul Bley does where he's going for a whole different thing or like these ECM artists are doing on the ECM record label where they're going for a very spacious sound.
Right.
That's just, it sounds like a sunset in a big empty sky.
Right.
But this is sort of a different...
This is more,
Ahmad Jamal's a more arranged sort of planned out spaciousness.
Yeah, and he's got arrangements that that he plays with those, you know. Yeah, so it's still in the jazz swinging tradition.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's another thing. The Ahmad Jamal Trio really swings in its own great way. And by leaving that space and not, Oscar Peterson would be sort of the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah, he's filling everything up.
Right.
He's playing more of an Errol Garner
too,
style.
But yeah.
Didn't Oscar Peterson say that Errol Garner was the guy that turned him on?
Possibly.
I think
or maybe Nat King Cole was a big influence on a lot of people. piano wise. So yeah, I don't know. There's just something special about Ahmad Jamal. He would let, and just by the fact that he wouldn't. Well, first of all, he had Vernell Fournier on drums, mm-hmm. and then this guy Israel Crosby on bass, who was a big influence on Ray Brown and everybody. So he had this great drum and bass thing underneath him. So he would just lay out, and it would let that breathe, you know, breathe through, and yeah. And the sound of those recordings, if you his great trio was in the late 50s and early 60s. And the sound on those albums is just killer. It's great.
Ahmad Jamal, check it out, ladies and gentlemen. What other players have really sparked you off? I don't mean just dudes you like one or two cuts, but I mean dudes that you've got all their records, and these are the dudes that you emulate and potentially imitate and dig on.
Let's see, who is another one? Wynton Kelly is another one. He played with Miles.
Yeah.
So Wynton Kelly, Herbie Hancock.
Wynton Kelly played with Miles in between Bill Evans and Herbie Hancock. Am I correct or not?
No, actually before Bill Evans. He played after Red Garland.
Okay.
So between Red Garland and Bill Evans.
All right.
So he plays on a couple cuts on Kind of Blue, which is mostly Bill Evans. But, yeah, he was on Live at the Black Hawk and just
That's a great record.
Yeah, I mean...
I dig that one out now. That's one of those records I inherited from Mom. If Mom is listening, I still got your Live at the Black Hawk in San Francisco Volume 1,
mm-hmm.
and I dig that out now and then when I want to hear something that's in the pocket, because that record is so in the pocket.
Right, and Wynton Kelly is a big part of that.
Yeah,
Miles loved Wynton Kelly for that reason.
Good.
That's who Wynton Marsalis was named after.
Oh, really?
His dad named him Wynton after Wynton Kelly.
Wow.
So, yeah, he was a very natural swinging piano player. Also used a lot of space, but also could really cook, too, you know.
Okay.
So Wynton Kelly, Tommy Flanagan is another one.
Mm-hmm.
And of the more modern guys, Herbie Hancock, I totally love and respect.
You probably have all his Blue Note records from the 60s?
Yeah.
You like those?
I do.
I was listening to one of these records. From I forget which one, for one of the Herbie records from the 60s on Blue Note, where he's got all these great players in the band, like Freddie Hubbard,
mm-hmm.
you know, and Tony Williams, I think, plays drums on some of those. And this friend of mine, who's not really as keen on the music as you and I are, says, how'd he go from that to Rocket? Mm-hmm. I said, well, you really got to check out what he did in between, because these records came out in the 60s and Rocket came out in 82, but in the 70s he had that funk band. And
that
funk band was cooking.
That was good. I love that stuff. The Headhunters.
Yeah, so how would you answer my friend's question, if little Scotty B is tuned in? How would you answer his question? How'd he go from the swinging Blue Note...
to the most annoying song ever written?
Yeah, how'd he go from that to the most annoying song ever written?
Well...
Oh, the second most annoying, because he didn't write Axel F.
Okay, the second most annoying song mm-hmm. written.
Well, I mean, Herbie's always... Even back then... In the Blue Note days, I mean, he always had a commercial edge, if you will, or he would do, like, Watermelon Man was his big hit back then. So you can tell he always had a desire to do, like, sort of a pop thing, you know. And as years went on, yeah, it gradually developed. And then, like, the Headhunters band that did Chameleon.
Yeah.
So that was, like, a step towards that.
It actually is a gradual change mm-hmm. that he made from doing the straight-ahead jazz with the acoustic instruments in the 60s up until he did that Rocket thing with all the computers and turntablists in the 80s.
Right.
And if you go album by album, you go, oh, well, he got Miles' band, and then he kind of started to go electric, and then he added the Fender Rhodes piano.
Right.
And then a couple albums later, he did that. He had that Mom Dweishi band, mm-hmm. which was still pretty acoustic but had some electric piano in it. It was really funky and in the pocket, which is some of my favorite stuff of his.
Right.
Then he had that full head-on funky disco band with the Headhunters and Sextant and Manchild, mm-hmm. and then he had some really crappy disco records for a while. And then those disco records sort of morphed into all these synthesizers he had collected, so he did that record with the Rocket and the synthesizers and the and all that.
Right. Which, frankly, I never really listened to that too much.
Yeah,
good for
the
you.
Rocket.
That's all right.
Actually, yeah, I like the more
best songs from that period are the stuff he did on a couple records afterwards that were just better songs. Yeah. That weren't big hits.
Better than Rocket?
Yeah.
That's hard to do.
I don't know. My favorite of the funk albums is the first Headhunters album, mm-hmm. and then the one after that called Thrust.
Oh, Thrust is great.
Incredible.
Yeah.
So what was the worst gig you've ever played?
Let's see. That's a good question. Well, might please you to know that I played at George Bush's first inaugural.
No, you did not.
Wow.
Don't hate me.
The first George Bush or the current George Bush?
Current George Bush.
You got paid, right?
In the year 2000.
Did you play George Bush, help him or get him out of his way?
What's that?
Did you play George Bush, help him or get out of his way?
Yeah.
No, you really played it in D.C.?
In D.C. with the Tommy Dorsey band.
Oh, wow.
Because I got called to play with the Tommy Dorsey band.
Do you get these calls a lot?
Every once in a while.
Tommy's dead.
I know. But the band lives on.
Yeah.
And there still are a couple guys in the band that played when Tommy Dorsey. The guy who leads the band, his name's Buddy Morrow. Great trombonist who goes all the way back to, he played with Paul Whiteman. He met George Gershwin. Man. This guy's great to hang out with.
Paul Whiteman was not cool, though.
I don't know. Maybe not.
Yeah.
I don't know that much about him. But
guy hung with Gershwin, huh?
Yeah. I mean, he moved, like... Yeah, Buddy Morrow was like in his 80s now.
Yeah.
So he moved to New York City. He grew up in Connecticut.
Well, how do you know
moved
these guys?
Moved to New York
like
in the 30s. Can you imagine that? Like the late 30s going to New York City.
Wow.
Anyway, so just talking to Buddy Morrow and hanging out with him was great. So I got a call to play with the Dorsey band. The main part of the gig was going on the Mississippi Queen for a week, which was really neat. But they said, we're also talking, they want us to play at the inaugural, you know, I guess there's like four or five inaugural balls, you know.
Oh, so. Yeah, there's a million of them, yeah.
Oh, he's got to go from one to the other, and he stays in each one for 5 minutes and goes to the next one.
Or a little more than that, but it was a big one. It's like the Texas-Arkansas ball or something. It was at the convention center.
Well, that's cool.
So it was kind of interesting. I mean, they flew us to Washington, and we can go over there and...
Was the food?
Yeah, you know, dogs and guys checking everything, you know, giving you the whole search. And,
how was the food?
That's the thing. I mean, I hate to say it, but it was kind of like every wedding reception I've played. No, the food was pretty good. I mean, you have to like buy your drinks. It's like cash bar.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's still like a fundraiser. There's still like
what it is. It's a fundraiser.
So the food was free,
but the drugs were fantastic, though.
They were great.
At the Bush from the Bush daughters and W himself.
There was a whole separate little room where people go, no, I'm just kidding about that.
Well, you might not be.
No, I am. But anyway, we had to play longer than it was, longer than we were supposed to. And there was like a band across the room. You know, they had like three different stages. But
so you're playing with the Tommy Dorsey Orchestra at an inaugural, and that's the worst gig you've ever had. Mister, my farts don't stink.
I'm not saying
that. What, do you got sunshine?
I made $100, but.
That's all you made?
Yeah.
That's not bad.
But that's because of the Tommy. Oh, I'm saying too much.
So that's the worst gig you've ever had.
No, that's not the worst gig. I don't know. No, I'm not saying that was the worst gig.
No one ever puked in your piano?
I have to think about it.
Your bass player never got so stoned he fell asleep. Your drummer and your bass player never got in a fist fight on stage and broke their instruments on each other's head.
I played out in Withamsville one time early on in my career.
Yeah, Withamsville.
And there was a big... you know where that is? Out there, you know. But, some dudes got in a fight and busted a glass beer pitcher over the other one's face. And
cool.
Yeah, that was... And I just had my new Fender Rhodes that I'd just gotten, you know, and I had to pack it up quickly because there was, like, blood all over the place.
Oh, man.
So that was kind of a drag, that one. Wow, I wish I had a really juicy, like, bad gig story to tell you, but...
That's right. One will come to you the minute you leave the stage.
I know, and then I'll have to call back.
Do you have one of those pianos where the black keys are white and the white keys are black?
No, I don't.
Those are called farfises, dude.
Do you have one of those pianos where the white keys are... They're not called farfises. They're pianos, and they ran out of the white paint.
Hey, this is the Chris and Rob Show on WAIF. We got 20 more minutes to go. Give us a call here at 513-749-1444.
I have another question for Mr. Schmidt.
Go ahead.
Did you ever have a necktie that had piano keys on the necktie?
That is a good question. Somebody did give me one time, and I, you know, gracefully accepted it, but I've never worn it. Yeah, that's a little too corny.
The real skinny one?
Nah, it's kind of fat. It was kind of a big fat one, you know. Right. Kind of an airbrushed bad version of piano keys on it.
Well, you gotta give me that. I'll wear it.
Okay.
I will.
All right. But I do have a groovy jacket. Yeah, sort of a black windbreaker type jacket that's got like piano keys going down the side. I think somebody gave that to me one time.
Neato.
I might have worn that once or twice.
Can you go to a toy store and much like Tom Hanks and Big, play, or I think they have it at Willis Music and Tri-County Mall, can you play the big giant piano keys that you dance around on your feet?
I've never done that. I've never done that.
Well, I think there's one in Tri-County Mall, and I know there's some other kid toy stores that have that thing. You've never been able to do that?
No.
You should look
into that. I will.
You should play that on stage.
That would be good.
When there's, yeah, you don't need a piano. You just roll one of those things out. You start hopping around for 3 hours.
Let's play some more music, all right?
Okay.
Let's play another cut here from this new disc. It's called Red and Orange by the Steve Schmidt Trio. If you didn't hear me talking about it earlier, you can get one at Shake It Records here starting this weekend. Drew Gress and Jeff Ballard are the sidemen on this. These guys are heavyweight international jazz cats. Drew Gress plays bass. Jeff Ballard plays drums. Here's another Steve Schmidt composition called Bon Air. What's that all about, Bon Air?
Bon Air.
Is that the airplane you go when you go to Germany?
Yeah. Well, there is a place called Bon Air, but that's not... There's an island called Bon Air, but that's not why it was named. Actually, I had the tune already written, and then I was walking down the street one day in Cincinnati, and one of those sometimes rare days where it's totally clear, and he's looking at that picture. Okay.
Hang 10, dude.
Anyway, it was just a really clear day, and I just thought, like, it's really good air.
It's like
Bon Air. But also, there's a place in my beloved Michigan. I go to northern Michigan a lot.
Really?
But there was a really cool store, you know, up in the upper peninsula there, this little town called Cedarville, which is a beautiful place. And there was a really cool old-timey store there called the Bon Air.
Okay.
So that sort of inspired it, too.
Here's Bon Air by Steve Schmidt on WAIF.
man off the street and feel the heat. The Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Join them. Call the Love Line at 749-1444.
Got
this jazz cat in the Steelers. His name is Steve Schmidt. He's jazz.
Did you ever drink Schmidt's beer? Did you ever, when you were curious, thinking, I got to give me some of that Schmidt's beer because it might be named? You've never had a Schmidt's beer?
No, I don't think so. Or if I did, I wasn't aware of it.
With the fish on it or the deer, I've never had it either. But my name's not. If there was an Irvin beer, you know, I would be all over it. I would drink it. I'm sure if there was a Chris beer, he would drink it.
Oh, you haven't had any of that Gooch cream ale?
I haven't had the Gooch ale.
Never had the Gooch cream ale. Hey, Rock Bongo's here, and he's bringing us a bag of White Castles.
Yeah.
So he must want something from us.
He knows what the deal is.
What do you want, dude? What can we do to help you out?
This is great. Okay,
Rock Bongo will apparently be doing the show here at midnight tonight.
Man.
Is that the deal?
Extra onions on the outside of my box.
Oh, man, this is good.
I know. When you get the extra box onions.
Well, thanks there, Rock Bongo, for
That's
bringing
us. That's good, man. But you know they make this thing called a Crave case. I don't know if you're hip to it or not. They don't just sell them 3 at a time. You can go ahead and get 30 at a time.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, Rob, next time I give you a beer, don't say to me, hey, dude, they make 6-packs.
Thank you.
Rock Bongo will be here at midnight tonight playing jazz. I don't know if he's got the new Steve Schmidt record yet or not.
He should have it if he's a jazz cat.
Do you know that guy, Rock Bongo? You've never played a gig with him before.
We perform.
Here's a little Steve.
I got cheese.
You got cheese? I got cheese on mine, too. Here's a Steve Schmidt fun fact, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
Steve Schmidt may be one of the most sophisticated, cultured, and intelligent jazz musicians on the scene today in this market. But a lot of people don't know that every Sunday night, Steve lets his hair down a little bit, and he goes rock. He goes rock and funk on you, and he plays keyboards with the Bluebirds over there at Allen's Cafe on Columbia Tusculum.
Mm-hmm.
And on Sunday night, you know, I'm not a big cover band guy. I don't care for cover bands. I usually don't. But that Bluebird band is smoking, and they're tight, and they do these tight songs, these old funk songs and these old disco and R&B songs. And even a white guy like me can dance to that. And the staff at Allen's is, of course, very friendly and nice and good-looking, mm-hmm. and everyone should go to Allen's on Sunday night, and I'm there frequently listening to the Bluebirds and giving Steve a hard time between the sets, and sometimes I even dance.
Mm-hmm.
Chris dances, for real?
Every once in a while he does.
After I get a little liquor.
With the waitress?
Maybe back in the back by the booth or something, you know, but... Yeah, with the waitress or, you know, various guys. No.
Hey, now watch it.
I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. I was going to say he's a man's man. But
watch
wait.
Out,
now
dude.
I'm digging a big hole here.
Yeah, you got horns and everything going on over there, right? Over there at the...
Yeah, there's
those
horns.
Bluebirds, got a horn section. They got this guitar player.
The Mighty Tusculum Horns.
That's what they're called, the Tusculum Horns, you know.
Depending on the week, they got Chris Arducer on drums. And I don't know that bass player's name, the guy...
Adam Scovanner.
Is he the skinny one from the cover band?
Yes.
He's a good
the
bass player.
The skinny one from the cover band.
Well, you guys got the skinny bass player, and he plays in some cover band that's real established, like the Websters or something.
Right. He was playing in a band called Forehead.
Forehead, okay, that's what I'm thinking.
Right.
My friend Glenn was the 32nd drummer of Forehead.
The 32nd?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
They should work with you, dude.
Yeah.
Forehead should get you.
And sometimes you got that other bass player. When that guy doesn't make it, sometimes you got that bass player who plays with the faux Frenchman. With the beard.
Right, Don Aaron.
That guy's good, too.
Don Aaron's really good.
He's
Do you
great.
Know anybody's yeah. name, or do you just got to say you got that one dude who's got the one thing? You know, the guy with the face.
You know that one jerk I do that radio show with? You
Jeez
know what? You know
me.
that jerk, redneck, fat.
Speaking of forehead,
redneck,
have you
stupid.
Seen the mayor lately? They should just get you and, like, chain you to their microphone stand or something and let you be Chris, the forehead-faced boy.
An idiot.
People
settle
will
down,
pay
boys.
A quarter to see that forehead of yours. The amazing growing forehead.
Are we going to try to call Howard's and tell him that Bowling Green got cheated tonight?
Oh, man. It's too depressing
we just
to
let
even
this one
contemplate.
Go. The game went to overtime. In case you just tuned in, we were talking earlier about the Glass Bowl game. Toledo versus Bowling Green. A big rivalry up
went
in the,
overtime.
The northwest part
two
of
overtimes.
Ohio. Yeah, that's where Rob and I went to college.
I think Bowling Green's quarterback got hurt. They brought in the second-string quarterback in Toledo 1.
I can't remember if we talked about this on the radio, Steve Schmidt. Did you go to college?
Yeah, he went to
yes,
college.
Yes, I did go to college.
Where'd you go?
I went to I started at Xavier University, finished at UC.
Oh, okay. One of those.
Did you study
one
music?
Of those, yeah.
Oh, you didn't study music, though. You studied something far
I
more reputable.
English literature.
Did you ever get drunk with Bob Huggins?
No, I didn't.
But if you went to school at UC and they got that CCM program, that CCM program is slamming. They got lots of cats coming through there.
At the time, way back in the day, CCM was, they didn't really have a jazz program then.
Well, they don't now, do they?
Yeah, they do.
Jazz is something that should not be taught at the collegiate level. It should be learned on the bandstands across the country and the world.
It should be.
In the back alleys.
But there are jazz programs in colleges.
I know there's lots of them.
Right.
But are you self-taught, or did you learn how to play from teachers and classes and schools and stuff?
I'm self-taught.
Really?
Yeah.
You never took lessons with anybody?
Very few. I took 2 years of basic piano in grade school.
Okay.
Didn't get very far at all.
That's fine.
And then, so really wasn't until, and then as I said, I taught myself guitar in high school. And then it was like right after high school that I got back into piano. And taught myself from there.
Okay.
Listening to records and imitating, stealing, that's how we learn.
Well, unless there's another cut you want to play, hey, what is the ratio of successful jazz musicians that have graduated from St. Xavier High School versus the ratio of successful jazz musicians that have graduated from ELDA? Versus the ratio of successful construction workers and police officers that have graduated from Sinax versus construction workers and police officers that have graduated from ELDA.
Why are you guys?
This is a complex question.
Why are you ripping on ELDA when your football team from St. X, aren't you guys in the state quarters or semis or finals?
They usually do pretty well.
Doing this year, you guys are already in the semifinals or some crap, and you still got this inferiority complex about ELDA. I wonder what that really says about you when you should be having the time of your life, and really you can't stop worrying about that huge purple specter on the west.
I'm just getting tired every time a cop pulls me over and they say, did you go to St. X? I go, yeah, and they double my speed. You can't do that.
And you know, because you said, yes, officer, I went to St. X. Did you go to ELDA? I'm on Chili. I went to ELDA. I live 2 miles from where I was born.
Hey, I'm going to play Anthem unless there's something else you want me to play. I don't know. I haven't heard
the
question.
You haven't answered the question.
Okay. The question is, no, actually, there are a large number of percentage of people, jazz musicians, that came from St. X.
Oh, Steve went to St. X High School, as did I.
I did. Yeah. Phil DeGreg.
Phil DeGreg went to St. X?
He went to St. X.
Who's the most famous
Alex
cat ever?
Alex Smith, the guy I was just telling you about, young piano player that was helped me with the CD.
Mm-hmm.
He went to St. X.
Hmm.
Who else? That's all I can think of right now.
Does John Zappa's dad still teach over there?
I think so.
Yeah, he was my music teacher when I went there. It was
really?
His first year.
Cool.
He used to fall asleep in this class, but not as often as the other kids did.
Are you guys both in marching band?
No.
You were in marching band.
You can't put a piano in a damn marching band.
Yeah, but you could play French horn or one of those things.
I never played French horn.
What about you? You were in marching band.
I was never in marching band.
Mm. You were in orchestra.
I was a backdoor musician.
Yeah, he was out back smoking cigarettes and banging girls from Ursula.
So you were in orchestra?
No, I wasn't. I was never that good, dude.
Dude.
Were you in the orchestra?
No.
See, we weren't that good, man. All right, well, let's play this track.
Because you sure do act like a guy in marching band sometimes.
All right, let's get out of here. Here's the last track I'm going to play tonight. It's called Anthem. It's a Steve Schmidt composition by the Steve Schmidt Trio. Drew Gress on bass, Jeff Ballard on drums. The new CD is called Red and Orange. Pick it up at Shake It Records this weekend. The gigs are at the Blue Wisp this weekend, Friday and Saturday night. Steve Schmidt's trio with the local cats. We'll have the CDs, releases, and the parties, and everything will be at the Blue Wisp Friday and Saturday night. If you don't know where the Blue Wisp is, it's downtown, and it's a bar. Thanks for coming down.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Chris and Rob.
Good luck with the gigs.
Thank you. Pleasure
Break
being here.
Break your leg, man. Cat.